The Psalms are prayers set to poetry. Because God has not changed and the human heart has not changed, Psalms can be prayed with equal right by anyone from ancient times to today. This is what gives the Psalms their force. This is what makes them live and move. At one moment, the Psalms can breathe deep and meditate and take in the whole of beautiful creation. At another moment, the Psalms can burn spitting hot with rage or gasp with sorrow and grief. The Psalms are prayers set to poetry. Because the human heart has not changed and God has not changed, they can be prayed with equal right by anyone. This prayer, certainly Psalm 52, I am able to pray with wholehearted fervor. This prayer, of angry condemnation over an earthly enemy. For this prayer, I can pray this and really mean it. My heart is often in that place. Perhaps it would be prompted by the actions of a public figure, doing things which shock the conscience. Or perhaps it is something closer to home. Something, a slight from someone who I know, that hurts me in that small, personal way that can linger in the memory for years. Whether it is public figure or more private nemesis, I can pray this prayer of God's angry condemnation. I can pray this prayer and really mean it. I can pray this like I am sharpening a butcher knife. You love evil more than good, a lie more than speaking the truth. Disaster, your tongue devises like a well-honed razor doing deceit. Why boast of wickedness? Psalms are prayers set to poetry and can be prayed with equal right by anyone, not just by me. This very psalm of praying condemnation down on an enemy, this very psalm can be prayed by anyone. Could be prayed by someone else, someone who counts me as their enemy. Perhaps it's because of some actions that I have taken in public advocacy, which they find shocking to the conscience coming from a Christian pastor. Or perhaps it's because of some particular way that I've conducted my ministry. Or perhaps it is something much closer to home. Some way that I have hurt them in that small, personal way that can linger in the memory for years. This psalm could be prayed by someone against me, someone who counts me as an enemy. Surely God will smash you forever, sweep you up, and tear you out of the tent, root you up from the land of the living, and the righteous will see you and be awed and be glad. Someone could well turn this prayer against me and really mean it. And how do I know that God would not heed that prayer? I am not so very righteous. I am not so righteous that I can say with certainty that God has no quarrel with how I am living my life. I make no pretense of saintliness. How righteous do I need to be in order to avoid God's judgment? Or perhaps it is not so much absolute righteousness standards that need to be met, but I need to make sure that I'm on the good side of anybody who's much more righteous than me, so that someone much more righteous than me doesn't pray condemnation upon me and find that by relative righteousness it is thereby persuasive to God. I'm not sure how this works in this praying down and condemnation upon each other business. But if God does not today have some good cause to uproot me and cast me from the land of the living, if God has not that reason today, how do that someday I will not give God such cause. If God is indeed, as this psalm seems to say, if God is indeed in this smashing and uprooting business, what assurance do I have? What assurance can I possibly have that is not self-serving flattery? What assurance can I possibly have that God's judgment won't be visited upon me? Brought to God by the wings of prayer. It is a chancy thing, a risky thing, to pray this way, to pray the words of the Psalms and mean it. It is a chancy thing to pray God's condemnation down. It is like reaching out and snatching for a knife in the darkness. Which end would my fingers wrap around? The handle or the blade? God has not changed. And the human heart has not changed. And Psalms can be prayed with equal right by anyone. Psalms are prayers set to poetry. Set to poetry. And it is in the poetry of the Psalms, not so much the words themselves, but in the poetry of them, that we will find the deepest and most life-giving waters. It is in the poetry of this psalm that I think our solution lies. First, understand that the poetry of the psalms is nothing like English poetry. Nothing like it. In English poetry, there is rhyme. End rhyme, triple rhyme, slant rhyme. There is meter, iambic, trochaic, dactyl. There is formal structure, sonnet, villanelle, lyric. That's what makes something a poem. It fits inside of these rules. The language behaves in a certain way, sounds a certain kind of way. Meter, rhyme, formal structure. That's what makes English poetry poetry. It plays on how the language lands on the ear. None of those things are present in the poetry of the Psalms. There is no rhyme. There is no meter, there is no strict number of syllables. The psalm can be 8 verses or 150 verses. Each can be different. English poetry is meant to delight the ear. Hebrew poetry, the poetry of the Psalms, it is meant to delight the mind with an interplay of images and ideas. Each line of the psalm is divided into two halves. If you crack open your Bible and look at the Psalms, you'll see this. One line will begin all the way on the left, and then the next will begin indented. It has one line broken into two halves. The first half of the line will introduce an idea. The second half intensifies it. For example, your tongue devises disaster, like a well-honed razor doing deceit. Or the first half will introduce an idea, and the second half suddenly changes. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is what makes it a poem. The poetry of the Psalms is structured around the movement of images, the deepening or transformation of ideas. That's what gives it its poetic force. And what's true of any individual line can be true of entire psalms as well. The beginning of a psalm might be totally different in tone and message than the ending. A psalm might begin with a confession of deep failings and end with complete assurance of God's love. Or a psalm might begin in earnest lamentation over true disaster and end with praise of what good God has done in the world. The beginning and the ending are not meant to be the same. Psalms are structured around the movement and change, the deepening and transformation of ideas. The Hebrew poetry plays upon the mind. The change of ideas, that's what gives the Psalms their poetic force. It can happen in a single verse. Or it can take place over the entire psalm. here in Psalm 52, we have a classic example of Hebrew poetry. It begins with angry condemnation of enemies, each line building beautifully upon itself. You love evil more than good, a lie more than speaking the truth. God will surely smash you forever, uproot you from the land of the living. And though it begins with angry condemnation, it does not end with anger. Just as it is beginning to run out of space, just as the words are disappearing off the bottom of the page and time is running out, suddenly the psalm turns. I am a lush olive tree planted in the courtyard of the temple of God. I trust in God's kindness forevermore. I will acclaim you forever, for you have taken action. The beginning and the ending of the psalm, they are not meant to be the same. They are held in tension like poles of magnet. God moves from being the one who uproots to the one who plants firmly in good earth. God moves, the enemy moves from one who's wise and dominates the imagination. And the enemy becomes one who is almost an aftermath, a minor annoyance who could not possibly stand against the faithfulness of God. Poetry of this psalm. It is a movement from conflict into peace, from fearful anger into assurance, and the hinge around which it all turns is the faithfulness of God. God who does not change. God who is never the same. The psalms are prayers set to poetry. To poetry. They can be prayed with equal right by anyone. I can pray this psalm when I am furious with someone who I count as an enemy, and I hope I would pray it. I hope I would pray it, because though it begins by meeting my hunger to decry the wickedness of another, it meets that hunger and it ends by fulfilling a much deeper hunger. To know that I belong to God, that nothing that an enemy can do can change that, that there's nothing that anyone can do to change that. The psalm can be prayed with equal right by anyone. Someone who counts me as an enemy could well pray this psalm and imagine in vivid detail God's judgment coming down upon me, and I hope they would pray it. I hope they would pray it. Because though it begins with destruction, it ends with seeking wholesome growth, honest, personal restoration. And honest, personal growth, this is something that I want for my enemies, even for my enemies, especially for my enemies. The psalms can be prayed with equal right by anyone, even by me. The psalms are there for you to take up and pray. There's no requirement before you can pray the psalms, no tests to pass, no hurdles to jump. You don't need to be righteous enough, faithful enough, clever enough, learned enough to pray these things properly. The psalms are ancient prayers waiting for you to breathe life into them again. You just have to pray them and really mean it. That's all. You just have to pray them, and the psalms will lead you to deep places of peace. Yes, of course, you can be angry at the world, angry at your enemies, angry at your loved ones, angry at yourself, angry enough to wish to die. The psalms will meet you there. And God will meet you there. And God will pick you up. And and plant you in the very courtyard of the temple of God. There to sink your roots deeply down into the rich, dark earth of ancient prayers. God will uproot you. Growing into the foundation of the holy place. God could no more uproot you than she could uproot a part of the foundation of the temple itself. God would not destroy you. God could not do so without destroying a part of yourself. God has not changed. The human heart has not changed. Souls are prayers. Your prayers. Psalms will meet you wherever you are and will lead you on ancient roads, on paths of peace, to places of deep healing, so that if you walk with them and pray with them, you will be led on the happy road to destiny.